He's really good at science.
Science!
And also at biology.
I'm ever so thrilled to be here.
He'll answer all your questions.
He'll answer all your questions.
Dr. Carl with Danny Lanky.
The marvellous mind of Dr. Carl. Good evening, Dr. Carl.
Dr. Danny, lovely to be with you again.
Well, let's talk about the human body, because most of us have one. It's relatable radio. I was actually talking yesterday after my trip to the dentist how I actually called the dentist bluff and fooled him into thinking that I floss and use mouthwash when I don't. I'm just a toothbrush kind of guy. And
you don't floss?
No,
you're quite right. You don't need to floss except on the teeth that you want to keep.
Don't care. I'm stuck in my ways. I don't need a floss. But anyway, we did get a couple of messages on the Instagram, and one of them said, Dr. Carl recommends that not only do you brush and floss, you're also supposed to brush your tongue and your cheeks with your toothbrush. Come on.
Yeah, that gets rid of bad breath. And also you're supposed to use a little thing called a pickster, a little furry thing to shove in between the teeth, because it gets out stuff that the dental floss doesn't.
What about...
Now that we've told you what you have to do because you're doing it all wrongly, I hope you're sad or happy.
To be honest, sometimes when my opinions get challenged like that, I'm like an anti-vaxxer and I just dig my heels in even deeper, and now we'll just not be brushing and flossing just despite everyone who wants me to do it.
Right.
What about free divers? I can't believe that some people on this planet can dive 140 metres and hold their breath for 10 minutes. Could I ever get to that level, or would I be stupid and it's only reserved for the elite?
You don't know who's good at it, what the sort of physical body type is. Some are skinny, short people. Some are short, fat people. Some are tall. Yeah, there's all sorts of people trying it. And it's just the weirdest sport in the world. We're trying to go by firstly starting off your access to oxygen and then exert yourselves to a massive degree. There are no shortcuts. There's no way you can get extra air into you or stop the water getting in there. You are just in this sport, which is a mixture of how much air you can shove into your lungs, water, pressure, buoyancy, and gravity. And even at shallow depths, blackouts can happen, even for the most skilled divers. And as you go deeper and deeper, the pressure can rupture, tear apart the soft tissues of the ears and the throat and the lungs. And people have realized that there's always the temptation to go a bit deeper than you should. And so even the people who are very good realize, I only go a little bit more each time. There's just no shortcuts. And even when you get to the surface and you're fine, you can suddenly find, and you haven't passed out, that you've got permanent uncontrollable shaking or loss of motor skills or blackouts coming. It's a weird sport. Yeah. I don't know why they do it. Did you ever do it?
No, it doesn't sound that fun, to be honest, the way you put it like that. A little bit of scuba diving, maybe, a little bit of floating around with a snorkel in your mouth, but there's no need to go 140 metres deep by yourself. There's just no need for that.
Imagine a 40-storey building, and that's how deep you're going.
Oh.
And it's just crazy. And 11 minutes without breathing. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Am I right as well in believing that for these people to go to these lengths, they actually can't, you think that you just take a massive deep breath in and then do it, but you've actually got to breathe everything out so that you're not as buoyant. Is that correct?
No, you've got lead weights to pull you down or steel weights or whatever it is. But now, have you ever done the thing of filling your mouth with air and then trying to blow it out while at the same time trying to hold your lips closed so the air doesn't come out?
Yeah.
Okay, well, these people go to an extra degree. What they do is they fill their lungs with air and then they suck in some more and then hold it closed with their lips. So they actually, sounds weird, they build up the strength in their lip muscles, and also they develop flexibility in their rib cage and chest. You know, stretching a balloon over and over makes it easy to blow up. So they just keep on doing that, and they keep on stretching their rib cage.
Yeah, I'm getting sweaty just thinking about it. I'm not built for that. My lips and my ribs are the weakest parts of my body. Old custard lips, I was called in high school. You were saying about 40 stories, and that reminded me of the Empire State Building. Remember there was that little schoolyard rumour getting around? Someone would say, if you drop a 20-cent piece from the top of the Empire State Building, it'll split a human in half if it lands on their head. What would happen if you dropped a coin from the Empire State Building and landed on a human?
If it was coming down vertically, it would build up a fair bit of velocity, especially if it was heavy. But unfortunately, or fortunately, they tend not to do that. They tend to wobble a bit, and so they come much more slowly. I don't know, but I very strongly doubt it would split a person all the way down the midline. Don't drop things from a great height. It is not a good thing to do. Would it damage somebody? I Look, I don't know. I'm going to have to check this out. You have given me homework. Thank you, Dr. Danny. I'm going to get greater enlightenment thanks to you.
What about these booster shots that I'm reading about? And that's fine because I don't mind. Like I said, I got the AstraZeneca even before it was approved for someone my age. I like the risk. And 6 weeks later, I was back for my follow-up. And now there's talk about booster shots, which is fine. But will booster shots be going every single year until I'm dead? Or is it going to be a third? And what are you, maybe it's not even proven yet, but what is the, maybe your inkling?
Okay, the two extremes are as follow. At one extreme, the coronavirus will gradually become less lethal. Now, let's just talk about that for a second. So a disease like smallpox is moderately lethal. And the Great Plague, 30% of everybody dies, 30%. Coronavirus, only 1 or 2%. So it's what we call only, you know, moderately lethal. Ebola, about 60% of people die. So firstly, it's moderately lethal. Now, will it, the one extreme is that it will ramp back its lethality, that's a new word, and gradually become completely mild like the coronaviruses that already live inside your nose. The other extreme is that it will maintain being as nasty as it is.
And if it stayed the same, maybe, well, a booster shot every 10 years or something?
It's not going to stay the same. We're going to find out as we go along. But also, our technology will advance. And I see the situation in the future where you go into your GP and they look up your DNA and they say, oh, Danny Lakey, DNA, man, are you weird. But with regard to your immune system and fighting coronavirus, COVID-19, you have some strengths and weaknesses. And then they'll find out where you're going to be traveling in the next 6 months, such as Honolulu and Wollongong. And then they'll say, okay, stand by for 10 minutes. And then in the doctor's surgery, a 3D printer will swing into action and print out a vaccine for you, a bunch of vaccines on the spot in 10 minutes. That's where we're heading.
Well, I mean, for me, that sounds very convenient and quite exciting. I know that for 5% of people out there, they've just driven off the rug. Nanny state, what's going on? Hide your data, I'm off the grid. Well, let's talk more germs. How much more germs are on the ground compared to in the air? Because I always find it funny if someone drops a biscuit on the ground, they're like, oh, I can't eat that anymore. I'm like, well, it's touched the air already, so don't worry about the ground. Is the ground that much grosser than the air?
It depends upon the surface. If the surface of the ground is copper, then copper has a natural germicidal action. At the other extreme is carpet. So if you were to drop a furry type food, like something with a bumpy surface that could massively infiltrate itself into the fibers and kiss up against the fibers, there'd be a big transfer of germs. Whereas at the other extreme, if you were eating a ball of chocolate, which land on a flat sheet of copper, the number of germs that would transfer across would be very small. But there's more germs on the surface than there are in the air.
Right, that's it. I'm getting copper flooring in the bedroom. Thank you, Dr. Carl, clearing up all these science questions and queries, conundrums, etc. And Dr. Carl's little book of climate change science is available in all good bookstores now. Retail's open again on Friday. No excuses not to get the book. And we'll chat to you next Wednesday. Dr. Carl, thank you.
Thank you very much. Pretty keen. Catch you next time.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.